Scripture reading for this morning will be Numbers chapter 35, verses 9 to 15. Numbers 35, 9 to 15. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, when you cross the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you select cities, these cities of refuge for you, that the man who kills any person without intent may flee. The cities shall be for you a refuge from the avenger, that the man may not die until he stands before the congregation for judgment. And the cities that you give shall be your six cities of refuge. You shall give three cities beyond the Jordan, and three cities in the land of Canaan to these cities of refuge. These six cities shall be for refuge for the people of Israel, and for the stranger, and for the sojourner among them, that anyone who kills any person without intent may stay there." Well, good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Always thankful for the opportunities that I have. If you're visiting with us, we're very glad that you have come our way. You're welcome back at any opportunity, and we hope that you'll stay around a few minutes after services just so you can get to know us a little bit better. This morning, we're going to look at the cities of refuge, and we can find the cities of refuge really talked about majorly in two places, in Numbers chapter 35, which was just read for us, 9 through 15, and really continues on, and we'll explore the rest of the text as we go through the lesson this morning, but also Deuteronomy chapter 19. I've always thought the cities of refuge were an interesting thing. In fact, in the teen class, we just kind of got through the book of Numbers, and I got thinking about the cities of refuge. These cities that were set up by God for the Israelites. The Israelites are going into the promised land, and God has given them all kinds of different instructions. And some of the instructions given are to set up these cities of refuge. And just as the reading basically tells us what the purpose of these cities of refuge are, and I think it would be appropriate to just reread the text and see exactly what it's saying here in Numbers chapter 35, verses 9 through 15. It says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you cross the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall appoint cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the manslayer who kills any person accidentally may flee there. They shall be cities of refuge for you from the avenger, that the manslayer may not die until he stands before the congregation in judgment. And of the cities which you give, you shall have six cities of refuge. You shall appoint three cities on this side of the Jordan, and three cities you shall appoint the land of Canaan, which will be the cities of refuge. There will be six cities shall be for refuge for the children of Israel, for the stranger and for the sojourner among them, that anyone who kills a person accidentally may flee there." We see these cities of refuge that are set up. There's a whole bunch of cities that are going to be there, but there's six in particular that are supposed to be cities of refuge. So if you think of the United States, there would be six cities of refuge, six cities that if you killed someone accidentally, you could go to that city and you could be safe. As long as you didn't leave, of course. But this is only for a special person. This is for a person who accidentally killed someone. Well, why did such a provision need to be there? Because underneath the Old Testament, if you killed someone, what was the punishment? Death. But God knew that there would be some cases where the death was not intentional. The person was not trying to kill someone. It wasn't intentional. It wasn't. They were sitting and planning and trying to kill someone. It was just an accident. And what's the punishment when someone is killed? For them to be killed as well. So God put this provision in, six cities of refuge. Cities that you can flee to if you accidentally kill someone. Cities set up for the accidental murder, or the accidental killing of someone. It's not murder if it's accidental. And this was a city that you could be safe from the avenger, the person that's going to come after you because you did kill someone. It was a place of safety. But you could not leave. And we have the requirements in the passage of when you should leave, why you should leave, so on and so forth. But what I'd like to look at this morning is comparing the cities of refuge to the New Testament church. The church of the New Testament, and I think what we'll find is there's a lot of similarities, there's a lot of commonalities. Now, is it a perfect illustration in every case? No, but I think there's a lot of parallels that we can find between the cities of refuge and the New Testament church. See, the New Testament church is our refuge. It is our safe place where we can go to bed at night and sleep That peace that surpasses all understanding. What we're going to look at is a comparison between the church and the cities of refuge this morning. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18, it says there are two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. We might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. It says, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope that is set before us. Have you fled to the city of refuge? Have you went to the city of refuge that we have as New Testament Christians, and that is the church? The church is the place of safety for a Christian. Just like in the Old Testament, these cities of refuge are set up for the accidental killing, for the manslayer. The church is our refuge. And I think the church in many ways compares these cities of refuge, and that's what we're going to look at this morning. Number one, the cities of refuge were places of grace and mercy. The cities of refuge were places of grace and mercy, and I think that can be perfectly parallel to the New Testament church. The church is a place where there is grace and mercy. Well, why would that be? Number one is when you think of that idea, grace and mercy, that's something that isn't deserved. Question, were the cities of refuge deserved by the Israelites? Did the Israelites, could they go to God and say, you know what, God, we've done all these things for you, we've been great, we've followed you, we've done all these great things, so you can give us these cities of refuge, this provision? No! The Israelites did not deserve the cities of refuge. It was because of God's grace and mercy that they had the cities of refuge. God's grace and mercy. In fact, if you look at the Israelites' history leading up to this point, they have rebelled against God. They have complained against God. They have deliberately disobeyed God in some occasions. And the Israelites come here, they're going into the promised land, and God gives them this beautiful provision of grace and mercy for someone who accidentally killed someone. The Israelites by no means deserve the cities of refuge. And you know what? We don't deserve the church. We don't deserve the church. There's nothing that we can do. There's nothing that we can say. There's nothing that we can go to God and say, God, we deserve the church. We deserve the church of the New Testament. No, we don't. We don't deserve the church of the New Testament. The only reason we have the church of the New Testament is because of God's grace and mercy. The church of the New Testament was not deserved. You know, we all have mercy and grace applied to us, you know, as we come to that age of accountability. But once we come to that age of accountability, that time where we know right and wrong, and we choose to do wrong, we're in danger. We're in danger. We have sinned, and you know what our penalty should be? It should be death. Certainly, we don't deserve the church, just like the Israelites did not deserve the cities of refuge. You know, you start to think about the church and what a high price it was purchased for. It's Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, it says it was purchased by Christ's blood. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. The church was purchased with the blood of Christ. It was not deserved. It was because of God's grace and God's mercy that we have a refuge. We have a place where we can flee, even though we're guilty and we have committed wrong. We have a place that we can go and we can be safe. Do we appreciate our city of refuge in the New Testament? Because we deserve death. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, it says, for the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. As soon as we commit a sin, what do we deserve? We deserve death. But where can we flee for safety? Where can we be safe? Our New Testament city of refuge, the church. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Are we thankful for the city of refuge that we have underneath the New Testament? Something else, I think, when we're thinking about this idea of the cities of refuge being a place of grace and mercy and the New Testament church being a place of grace and mercy, is I think that God knew there would be a need for grace and mercy. He understood it with the cities of refuge, and I think he understood it in terms of the church, that for certain situations there would need to be a place of safety. There would need to be a place where grace and mercy could be found. You know what God knew? Is that there would be accidental death. In terms of the Old Testament and the cities of refuge, God said, you know, he sets up all these statutes and whatnot, but if you kill someone, what is supposed to be happen? You are supposed to be killed. If you kill someone, you are supposed to be killed. That's what we see laid out in the Old Testament. But God knew that every time there was a death, it wouldn't necessarily be intentional. See, God knew ahead of time that there would have to be a place where there could be grace and mercy, where you could flee and be safe, because he knew that every time someone was killed, it didn't necessarily merit that that individual would need to be killed. But that's what the law said. The law says if you kill someone, then you have to bear that same punishment. But God knew that grace and mercy was needed. So he put the provision. As he's talking to the Israelites, as he sets up the Israelites, as he sets up Israel, he says they're going to have six cities of refuge. So when someone kills someone and it's accidental, they have a place where grace and mercy can be found. See, God knew that there would be accidental death. God knew that there would be accidental death, and there needed to be a provision here. There was a penalty if a life was lost. You know, you think about that, you start to consider that, and you think about the wisdom of that. Because we look at the Old Testament, and you know what? If you killed someone very close to me, someone that I love, it'd be very hard for me to keep my emotions in check. I mean, imagine if you were in that situation where you saw someone, a loved one of yours, or a situation similar to that, and you find out a loved one of yours has been killed. What would your response be? It'd be highly emotional. And what do people do when they're highly emotional? They don't necessarily think straight. And what would be the first thing to do? Take justice into my own hands. If someone killed my wife, it would be very hard in that situation. How would you handle yourself? That someone that you love, that person that you care about. See, God knew that there would be this vigilante type justice where if you killed someone in my family, I'm going to come after you. And what am I going to do? I'm going to go and get you. But God knew that every time there was a death, it wouldn't necessarily be intentional. It wouldn't be just because someone was sitting and waiting and praying to kill an individual that accidents could happen. So he knew a provision needed to be there. A provision of grace and mercy. He understood that there would be situations where there needed to be a place of refuge. And we see this, so on and so forth, all throughout the passage. If you turn to Numbers chapter 35, we read that first bit. But if you look at starting in verse 23, or verse 22, it says, however, if he pushes him suddenly without enmity, or throws anything at him without lying in wait, or uses a stone by which a man could die, throwing it at him without seeing him, so that he dies while he was not his enemy or seeking his harm, then the congregation shall judge between the man slayer and the avenger of blood according to the judgment. See, this provision was put forth not for murderers. The provision, the place of grace of mercy, was put out for accidental killing. But God knew that the provision needed to be there because people would get killed accidentally. You think about the New Testament now. Transitioning from the Old Testament to the New Testament, we've got these cities of refuge. God knew that there would be accidental death at some point, so we had to have a place of grace and mercy. You know what the comparison is, the parallel to the New Testament is? God knew that we would sin. God knew that we would sin. So what did he have to do? He knew that we would sin, so what did he have to do? He had to set up a place of refuge. He had to set up a place of safety. He had to have a place where grace and mercy could be applied to those individuals. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. See, God knew, just like the Old Testament, we had these things of refuge, he knew accidental death would happen, so he had to set up a place where grace and mercy could be applied. In the New Testament, he knew that we would sin. He knew that we would fall short of the glory of God. He knew that we would sin at some point in our lives. Know the difference between right and wrong and choose wrong. And he said, you know what? I need a place where grace and mercy can be applied. See, God knew that we would sin. God knew that we would slip up. So what does he do? He sets up a place where we can be safe, where grace and mercy can be applied. You know, God knew that these situations would be about. He knew that we would sin. You know, you could liken this. You know, we have the accidental killing. Like I said, the comparison isn't perfect, but we have the person that accidentally kills someone. What could be compared to that in the New Testament? Well, I think of people who sin ignorantly on occasion. You know, some people that sin ignorantly on occasion, people that sin unintentionally on occasion. But I don't think that this provision of the New Testament is for people who sin deliberately again and again and again. I think it was set up for special people. People that made mistakes in the past. They were sinning in the past, and they made mistakes. And then they come to the church and say, I want to be in this place of grace. I want to have this mercy applied to me. God has a provision for those people. God has provisions for those people that sin unintentionally. He has a provision for those people that have sinned, and they say, you know what? I want protection. I want grace, and I want mercy. But the church in the New Testament, it has certain conditions, just like the cities of refuge had conditions. You know, we look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. It says, for if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. See, I think the cities of refuge, the church of the New Testament, is for those who have sinned in the past, they've made mistakes, they come to the church and they say, you know what, I want to live a new life. I want to live a better life. I want to live that life behind. I don't want to do those things again. See, people that want to continue on sinning, they don't really fit into the picture. They're kind of like the person who intentionally kills someone in the Old Testament. The cities of refuge were not for people who intentionally killed people. They were for the people that accidentally killed people. In the New Testament, people who have sinned and realize they have sinned and have the appropriate attitude and are humble and realize they've made a mistake and they want the refuge. Not everybody is going to want that. In fact, many people run away from our New Testament city of refuge. They don't want to have anything to do with it. They don't want the place of grace and mercy. They want to run as far away as they can. Something else I notice about the city of refuge, the city of refuge where grace and mercy could be applied, it was conditional. If you wanted to be saved, you know what you had to do? Number one, you had to run to the city of refuge. Number two, you had to stay in the city of refuge. You couldn't leave. If you leave, what would happen? You'd be in danger of anyone who wanted to come after you because you killed someone, whether accidentally or intentionally. You had to flee to the city, and you had to stay in the city. There was conditions on the place of grace and mercy. If you look in Numbers chapter 35 and verse 11, it says, then you shall appoint cities of refuge for you, that the manslayer who kills any person accidentally may flee. What would happen if you didn't flee to the city of refuge after you killed someone accidentally? You would open yourself up to be killed. You would open yourself up to the avenger. You know what? Some people don't realize that the New Testament church has conditions. They don't want to see the place that God has set up, grace and mercy, the place of grace and mercy, it's got conditions. The city of refuge has conditions. Condition number one, you've got to flee to the city. Condition number two, you've got to stay in the city. You've got to stay in the city. Let's look in Numbers chapter 35, verses 26 through 28. This is where we see that other condition. Number one condition we see in verse 11, you have to flee the city. Verses 26 through 28, it says, but if the manslayer at any time goes outside the limits of the city of the refuge where he fled, the avenger of blood finds him outside the limits of the city of refuge. The avenger of blood kills the manslayer. He shall not be guilty of blood. Because he should have remained in his city of refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the manslayer may return to the land of his possession. Two conditions for this place of grace and mercy in the Old Testament. Two conditions. Flee to the city of refuge. Stay there. And then we have the provision of the high priest and so on and so forth. But those two main ones. Flee, stay. Did all people who killed people accidentally flee the city of refuge? I don't know. They should have. Did all people who fled to the city of refuge, did all of them stay there? Well, we've got Bible examples of people who left. They left the city of refuge, the place where they could be safe. They left. You know, people don't like it that when we compare this to the New Testament, they don't like the implications. The implications is God has set up a place of grace and mercy. He set up the church, but it has conditions. Just like the cities of refuge had conditions. You had to flee to the city, and you had to stay there. There was conditions on this place of safety, this place of grace and mercy. The city of refuge was conditional. Do we think about the New Testament church that way? People will go out of the protection of the city of refuge. People will not even flee to the city of refuge because they don't view it as important. But the place of the New Testament, the New Testament church, the church of Christ, it's a place where grace and mercy is applied, but it is certainly conditional. You know, we're worthy of death. Why are we worthy of death? Because we've all sinned, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. If we put ourselves in that Old Testament situation, we're that person that killed someone accidentally, we're in a bad situation, we're in danger, we're guilty of death. Our only chance, our only opportunity is to flee to the city of refuge underneath the New Testament. You are guilty of death. The wages of sin is death. We have all sinned. Therefore, we all deserve death. Our only chance, our only opportunity is to flee to the New Testament city of refuge. Are you fleeing? Are you running? Are you trying to get to the city of refuge, the New Testament church? But what's interesting is many individuals, they don't like the New Testament city of refuge. They don't like the church. And they don't like the conditions of the church, how you're added to the church, what you have to do to become a member of the Lord's church. They don't like that. You know what? When you're in a bad situation, you don't get to make demands. You know? When you're in a bad situation, you don't get to make demands. You know, I had a big hole in my roof. And after my father-in-law fell off, I was in a bad situation. I would have got anybody to put the rest of that roof on. You know, I was in a bad situation. You know, a bad situation where called where I have to pay more. I'm not in a situation where I can make a demand. I'm in a bad situation. I just need someone to come and help. But some people, when it comes to their spiritual lives, they come to the city of refuge of the New Testament and they say, I'm going to make some demands. I know I'm guilty of death. I know I've sinned. I know I've made mistakes in my life. But you know what? I want to get into the New Testament church my way. Sorry, it doesn't work that way. When you're in a bad situation, you don't get to make demands. We are guilty of death, spiritual death, because we have sinned. And when we flee to the New Testament city of refuge, when we get there to the gate, we don't get to decide how we get to enter. We have to go by the way of the person who put that place of grace and mercy there. We are deserving of death. Trust me, you don't want a fair trial. You don't want a fair trial because we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. You don't want a fair trial. You know what you want? You want the place of grace and mercy. You want God's grace and mercy applied to you because we're all guilty. We're all guilty. We don't want a fair trial. Our only chance is to get to the place where grace and mercy is applied. And that place of grace and mercy has conditions. The city of refuge, the church, is where there's no condemnation. Therefore, now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. It's not that we haven't made mistakes. It's just that we're at that place where grace and mercy is applied. We all have committed sin. We all need protection. We all need our city of refuge. We need grace and mercy. We need the opportunity of the church, which was purchased by Christ's blood. God knew that there was a problem, that he needed to put a provision there. And the provision has been set, but a lot of people don't like the provision, the condition, what God has set up. Comparison number one, we have the cities of refuge of the Old Testament. The cities of the Old Testament, these cities of refuge, were a place of, where grace and mercy was applied. We have the New Testament church, where grace and mercy is applied. Will you flee there? Will you stay there? We understand that we did not deserve the church, just like the Israelites did not deserve the city of refuge. We understand that there are conditions to this place of grace and mercy, just like the city of refuge had conditions. Flee there, stay there. The New Testament church has conditions. We have to understand that God knew that these provisions would be needed. He knew that people in the New Testament were going to sin. He knew people in the Old Testament, on occasion, there would be an accidental death. He put this all into place. It was his plan. Observation number one, the church and the cities of refuge were places of grace and mercy. Number two, comparison, when we look at it, is the cities of refuge were in reach of all. The cities of refuge were in reach of all. The cities of refuge weren't hard to find. And actually, if you had a picture of Israel, if you actually plot out the cities, they're kind of evenly spaced. And through the middle of Israel, we've got the Jordan River. We've got three on this side of the Jordan River, three on this side of the Jordan River. The cities of refuge were available to all. They were easy to find. They were available all, easy to find. If you were looking for them, you could find them. It wasn't something that Israel was hiding. Oh, we're going to hide the cities of refuge. We've got six of them, but we're going to hide them. We're not going to let anyone know where they're at. That's not what they were doing with the cities of refuge. The cities of refuge were available to all. They were easy to find. We have three on the west side, three on the east side. One could easily get there in a day. But why did we delay? You could easily get to a city of refuge in a day, but why did we delay? In the New Testament church, we have the city of refuge just sitting there, just waiting for people to come, take refuge in it, and people are just like, nah, I'll delay. You're in danger of death. You have a death penalty. You have people after you. The Avenger is after you. What are you doing? Why are you delaying? People do it all the time. I'll delay. I'll be okay outside the city of refuge. I can make it another day. That's what people say. How long will you risk the Avenger catching you? Because really, in the Old Testament, that is basically what you're facing. Is the Avenger was chasing you because you killed someone that they loved, someone that they knew, and they were after you. How long are you going to risk staying outside underneath the New Testament? How long are you going to stay outside the church? How long are you going to stay in that place of danger? How long are you going to be there? You know, there was maps, there were cities' names. It was very easy to find the cities of refuge. In fact, when you go to Deuteronomy chapter 19, verses 1 through 3, Deuteronomy chapter 19, verses 1 through 3, in those first three verses, it talks about roads, talks about dividing the territory, all these things. It seems like these cities of refuge were not a secret. They were not hard to find. You could find directions if you wanted to find them. Hey, where's the city of refuge? They point you right to it. The New Testament church is very similar. The New Testament church is well marked and it's easy to find if you're just looking for it. The cities of refuge are easy to find if you're looking for them. You can find them. The New Testament church, you can find it if you're looking for it. But just people look in the wrong places, don't they? A lot of times they'll look to their pastors, they'll look to their friends, their family, but they won't look where you can find the city of refuge of the New Testament. They won't look in the Bible. That's where you can find it. Just like these cities of refuge, if you wanted to find information on them, you could just go to God's Word, you could find information on them. Can you find information on the New Testament church? It's easy to find. The roads, the directions, where you're looking for it, all those things you need. It's all in here. But people, are they looking? Are they looking in the right places? Is it hard to find the church of the Bible if you start searching through the Bible, the book that God gave us? In John chapter 14, verse 6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So people are trying to go all around Jesus and all around what he has to say. There's no other way but Jesus. There's no other name. But people are trying to do all kinds of things. The cities of refuge are easy to find. I think the New Testament church is easy to find if you're looking for it. Now, a lot of people are not looking. They don't want to find it. Because they don't want to find a place of grace and mercy that has conditions. I want it my own way. I want to do it my own way. I don't want to follow the conditions. I don't want to flee to that city of refuge. I don't want to stay in the city of refuge. That's unfortunate. You know, when you think about these cities of refuge being available to all, I think they were easy to find. You know, you could get directions, so on and so forth. But something else is the cities of refuge were for all people. And I think that's kind of an interesting thought. Because, you know, God's setting up Israel. He puts these six cities of refuge inside of Israel for God's people. And you think that that would maybe just be for the Israelites. But that's not what we see. And we see that these cities of refuge were for all people. They were for all nationality. Numbers chapter 35, verses 13 and 14. Numbers chapter 35, verses 13 and 14. It says, and of the cities which you give, you shall have six cities of refuge. You shall appoint three cities on the side of the Jordan, and three cities you shall appoint in the land of Canaan, which will be the cities of refuge. Verse 15. These cities shall be for refuge for the children of Israel, for the stranger, for the sojourner among you, and anyone who kills a person accidentally may flee there. These cities of refuge, in chapter 35, and verse 15, it says that these cities of refuge are for everyone. The Old Testament cities of refuge for everybody. It didn't matter if you were a Jew or an Israelite, if you were a sojourner or a stranger, it didn't matter. The cities of refuge were for you. If you accidentally killed someone, you could flee to the cities of refuge. You know what? The New Testament church is for everyone. It's unfortunate that some people don't think that from time to time, but everyone had an opportunity to go to these cities of refuge in Israel. Come to the city of refuge. The city of refuge did not turn you away. Didn't matter your nationality, didn't matter your gender, didn't matter all these things. The cities of refuge were for all. Just like the New Testament. In Acts chapter 10, verses 34 and 35, it says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The gospel for all. The church of the New Testament, the city of refuge of the New Testament, it is available to all. The Old Testament city is of refuge. It was for everyone. The New Testament church, it's for everyone. No one is turned away. No one is turned away if you're willing to follow the conditions that come with the city of refuge. in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." The gospel is for all. The Jew first and also for the Greek. All those in all nations that will come and bend to the will of God and obey Him. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 11 it says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." The New Testament city of refuge, it's available for all. There's no one turned away. As long as you follow the conditions, as long as you'll do whatever they ask you to do at the gate, and you get into that place of mercy. Observation number two, when it comes to the cities of refuge, observation number two is the cities of refuge are for all. The Old Testament cities of refuge were for those manslayers, those people that had accidentally killed individuals. If you killed someone accidentally, you could go to the city of refuge. In the New Testament city of refuge is for sinners. And guess what? That's you and me. The New Testament city of refuge is available for all sinners. We just leave there. We just stay there. Observation number one, when we look at it, comparing the church and the city of refuge, number one, what we start to see is that the city of refuge and the church is a place of grace and mercy. Number two, we see the cities of refuge and the church are available to all. And number three, and probably most important in some respects, is that, you know what, you can leave. You can leave the church, our refuge. You can leave these places of safety. And a lot of times in the religious world, that isn't very popular. In Numbers chapter 35, verses 26 through 28, says, "But if a manslayer at any time goes outside the limits of the city of refuge where he fled, the avenger of blood finds him outside the limits of the city of refuge, and the avenger of blood kills the manslayer, he shall not be guilty of blood, because he should have remained in the city of refuge until the death of the high priest, but after the death of the high priest, the manslayer can return to the land of his possession." You can't leave the city of refuge. Unfortunately, we see this a lot in the religious world. We see this with our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's for whatever reason, they think that they can leave the city of refuge. They think they can step out of the city limits and they'll be okay. They like to test God in some degree. They like to flirt with sin. But what we see in the Old Testament is the manslayer had very clear instructions: flee to the city and stay in the city. Stay in the refuge. Stay where it is safe. You know, the same quotation is stated. There's all kinds of cities in Israel. There's only six cities of refuge. You know, there's like 48 cities, I think, all scattered throughout Israel at different times, different places, but like 48 cities, but only six were cities of refuge. You know what I take from that is, you know, well, one, six cities of refuge, seven, often in the Bible, is considered perfection. So what's six short of perfection? Why weren't there seven cities of refuge? Why are there only six? Well, six is sort of perfection. He knew that people weren't perfect. They were going to need the cities of refuge. A lot of times people make that observation. But the safe location was stated. The safe location in the New Testament is stated, but people will run away from it. They'll leave the safety. They won't stay where they're supposed to be, and they won't follow the conditions that they're supposed to follow. The safe location can be left. It's so sad when people think that they can leave and they can play with God and leave the city of refuge. You know, because we can look at the Old Testament and like, who in their right mind who has accidentally killed someone, flee to the city of refuge, why would you ever step out the gate? Why would you ever go outside the city of refuge? Why would you ever let someone lure you outside? Why would you go outside the city of refuge? The safe place where grace and mercy is applied. You're guilty of death. Don't step outside. But we know that sometimes people do. When we take it over to the New Testament, when we see the New Testament church, they become Christians. And then what do they start doing? They start flirting with sin. They start saying, "Let me go outside the city of refuge. Let me go outside the church. Let me go out the boundaries. Let me not follow the conditions. Let me step outside the city limits. Just for one day. Just for one time." You open yourself up to the avenger. You open yourself up to the avenger. You know, we look at the Old Testament, and we can easily see the situation. Why would you leave? Are you crazy? Why would you leave the city of refuge? But then we turn over to the New Testament, and we're not comfortable with the implication. Don't leave the church. We're not talking about the physical building. We're talking about the spiritual place where grace and mercy is applied. Why would you ever leave? And that's the amazing thing about us, is we're very easy at looking at these Old Testament examples, and we can see these people and say, why are you doing that? Why are you complaining? Why are you rebelling against God? Why did you make that mistake? He told you not to forget God. You know, we look at these Israelites and say, look at them, they're making all these crazy mistakes. Then we look at ourselves, and we can't see that we're doing the same thing that they're doing. Will you leave the city of refuge? Will you flirt with sin? You know, in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that also he shall reap. You really think you can mock God jumping in and out of his city of refuge? Oh, I'm in the place of grace and mercy. Now I'm out. Now I'm in the place of grace and mercy. Now I'm out. Don't mock God. Stay there. So people leave. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, and the latter end is worse than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. It's interesting how people run away from the cities of refuge. They'll go after worldly pursuits. They'll pursue all these things. And we don't have to speculate. We have certain situations in the Bible where we see people leave the city of refuge, and what happens? They're killed. There's people that leave the city of refuge, and they're killed in the Old Testament. Guess what happens in the New Testament? You leave the city of refuge, you live the place of grace and mercy, you open yourself up to some very bad things. You open yourself up to spiritual death. You know, I think of Joshua chapter 2, Joshua chapter 2, verse 17, we have Rahab. Now, this is not a city of refuge, but it's kind of the same idea. We have Rahab, and she helps the spies out as the Israelites are coming in, and the Israelites say, thank you, Rahab, for helping us. What we want you to do is put this scarlet out of your window, and everyone in your house is going to be safe when we attack. But don't have anyone step out of the house. You know, we can easily put ourselves in that situation, you know, put everybody in our family in that house, convince everybody to get into that house of safety, and tell them, do not leave. We've got this scarlet out here, and they told us that if we stay in here while they're attacking, they will not kill anyone in this house. Are you going to leave the place of refuge? Are you going to leave the place of safety? You know, we can see these Old Testament examples and say, I wouldn't leave. I would stay in that house. I would get to the back wall as far as I could away from the door. I would not even take one step out. I wouldn't even peek out. But yet when it comes to our lives as Christians, do we peek out? Do we peek out at the sinful world and say, maybe I'll take one step out. Maybe I'll take one step out away. When we look at the cities of refuge in the New Testament church, I think there's many things that can be learned. Number one, when we think about it, it's the place of grace and mercy. Cities of refuge, place of grace and mercy. New Testament church, place of grace and mercy. We start to look at these other comparisons that we can make and things that we can look at. The cities of refuge were for all. Sojourners, pilgrims, the Israelites, it was for all of them. And over here, New Testament church, it's for everyone. It doesn't matter what your race is, it doesn't matter gender, it doesn't matter all those things that the world tries to worry about. It's for everyone. And we look at this last thing, is that you can leave the city of refuge. They can leave the city of refuge, and what happened? They open themselves up to danger. Same thing, New Testament church, if you leave it, you leave that refuge, you leave that safety, you open yourself up to danger. A few questions this morning. Have you entered the city of refuge of the New Testament? Have you entered the city of refuge of the New Testament? Have you been added to the church? Perhaps you've dabbled outside the city of refuge. What we encourage you to do is come and stay. Don't dabble outside anymore. Come and stay. We'll pray for you, help you in any way that we can. Perhaps you've never made it to the church. Perhaps you've never made it into the city of refuge. You're in danger. You should flee to the church as quickly as you can. It's not something that we should, as Christians, look outside and say, oh, we're so much better than you. No. When we were outside the city, we were just like you. When we were outside the city, we were joking to death. And someone was brave enough to say, "Hey, you're in danger out there. You're joking to death. Come on inside the city of refuge." Perhaps you've never made it to the church, our refuge. Come and stay. Be added and stay a while. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5 says, "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in Him." You know, that's got an idea of God being our refuge. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in Him. God is our refuge. The church is our refuge. Cities of refuge and the church have many comparisons. Perhaps you'd like to be added to the place that God has set up for us. You need to be added and need to pray for the church. We'd love you to come as we stand, as we sing.